Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brooking and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, West Ham United, more than just a podcast.
Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Podcast. Can't get you ever changing podcast.
It is season 13 years, and it is episode 20. Already. The Booches are not here. They're in Butlins, having a lot of time of their life in Butlins.
The bastards.
Obviously Nigel's still in Weymouth. But we've got Lenny Boy here. Canning Town,
yeah,
Len.
Yeah, I'm here.
Where are you and what are you doing?
I'm in the studio. I forgot to put the heating on and I'm coughing, really. So I'll be hitting the mute button quite a bit.
All right, okay.
So we'll see how well I do.
Okay. Well, just so you didn't hear us too. We've invited a special presenter. You know him as Crazy Nick, Conspiracy Theory Nick, or Anti-Moyes Agenda Nick. It's Nick Killington from Claret and Booze.
Hello, everyone. You all right?
Yeah. I'm legally obliged to ask you, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm not as cold as Len. My bottom half are okay. I'm in my loft office, but it's uninsulated. It is quite cold up here. So I've got a nice electric heater pressed against my legs as we speak.
Oh, what an image for our listeners.
Yes.
Do you listen to this podcast? Do you know?
I do.
You do?
I do, yeah.
Okay. He references it. What you're saying, you don't listen to him.
I generally take clips of you and take the piss out of you on it.
Sure. Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I love that. It's no disrespect, as you know. I don't actually do YouTube, so
I know.
I don't listen. Occasionally I do, but only just to wind up people I know that are on, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
No names intended. Or occasionally you ring me up to go on your show and then go, oh, you've just rung in, Sean. And I go, oh, yes, I've just rung in. Who is this speaking? It's Nick. Oh, yes. I've just rung into your phone-in show. Do you know what? That's how they all do it.
That was a lot. The last time you phoned in, Sean, sorry, was when you gave me the exclusive that Harry Maguire was signing.
Yeah, don't listen to shit.
He's reliable.
Yeah, reliable. yeah. Anyway, welcome, Nick. Welcome.
Glad
to be
here.
We've got some football to talk about.
Well, you say that.
We've got two games. The first one is, I'm going to take you back to last Thursday, actually, in Serbia, and talk about a riveting game we had against TSC Topola Bakar. Have I said that right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, Nick, did you go? Did you watch it? We have to ask, did you watch it? Because sometimes on the podcast, people go, nah.
I did watch it, yeah. But there wasn't really much. I mean, the game started in the 89th minute, didn't it? I mean, that was pretty much it. It was a dreadful performance. It was awful. One of the worst games. After watching Burnley, I thought it can't get much worse than that. And then, you know, enter TSC, and shocking, absolutely shocking performance. And I know that was kind of the fourth game. That was a fourth win on a spin, wasn't it? Did that mark the fourth?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Thomas Souček to the rescue in the 89th minute. I mean, it was probably a bit unfair to say it only started on the 89th minute. I would say, you know, we got going maybe on the 80th minute.
Maybe.
Would that be unfair? The last 10 minutes, we were a bit lucky. Let's be honest. Shall I give you a stat attack?
Go on.
West Ham had 58% possession to their 42 at home. We had seven shots, three of them on target, young Nick, to their 9 shots.
Yeah.
And 3 on target. We had 8 corners, 8 to their 1. And we committed 17 fouls to their 11. Dirty. Dirty West Ham. What went wrong, Nick?
The game by numbers. What went right? I don't know anymore. I really don't. I mean, look, as you all know, anyone that watches the channel like Sean doesn't, we're very much. It's not so much I'm anti Moyes. I'm pro entertainment.
Means you're anti Moyes.
Which means that by default I'm anti Moyes.
We call it spade here, right? You're anti Moyes.
It's so difficult though to watch this, isn't it?
Just be free. Go. I don't like David Moyes.
Well, no,
Don't hide behind it, Nick. Just go.
But what I won't do when David Moyes is gone, I didn't like Sam Allardyce and I didn't like Kerbishley really because of the football. Once they was gone. It's not personal. I hate the style of football. I don't like pragmatic football. I don't particularly for my club.
David Moyes.
Sorry?
If you met David Moyes while shopping at, I know, Lidl or Iceland, right?
Yes.
Would you shake his hand?
I wouldn't go out of my way to shake his hand, no. But then again, I'm not rude.
Would you
put his hand out?
Would you take a selfie?
It'd be a very firm handshake. It would.
Would you do a selfie with him?
No, not a chance.
Would you tell him what you think of him?
Would you introduce yourself? Do you think he knows you, Sean?
I'll tell you what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't abuse him, like shout at him down the street. But if I got into a conversation with him, then I would tell him what I thought. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes,
Nick,
100%.
I've told you this off air.
Go on.
And I told you this last week. He knows who you are.
Does he? Good.
He does.
Does he like the donkey? Is he quite?
I don't know. All I know is the players and the coaches and the club know what's going on social media, and some of it is briefed and some of it they go out their way. Sam Allardyce went out his way and his wife told him off. He used to read KMB forums that were slagging him off.
Oh, really?
And he saw the forums, he read articles that I wrote on Clarence Hugh. You know, Sam Allardyce took it all to heart and was very au fait with what was going on social media.
Imagine Sam sitting there comfort eating because something Nigel said to him.
There's your Ruddy Bubbles.
Yeah. with a tub of ice cream in front of him and a scoop, not a spoon.
Don't get me wrong. I don't think David Moyes spends his time on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube. But I'm told you, Nick, and Clarence Booze have reached the club's attention.
We've ruffled a few feathers.
I don't know about ruffled a few feathers, but reached the club's attention. There's maybe a one raised eyebrow, Nick.
Yeah, that's fine. That's better than no raised eyebrows.
Yes, Brady out there, and I don't think she can move her fucking face.
Imagine a bit like, if you remember Roger Moore, right? One eyebrow just raising on its independently on its own.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I mean, if anything, that's
a compliment, isn't it?
It's not a compliment. Look, at the end of the day, I think if you look at the channel and the traction that we get, you know, with viewers, I mean, you've only got to go back and look at the show that we did last night. If they were to read, even if you're not listening to me, or you're not listening to what we're saying, just listen to the people that phone in, look at the comments that you're getting. There is a lot of strong feeling around this at the moment.
Controversy sells. You know this, Nick. You're not stupid. Controversy sells, right? And I told you this before, right?
But the thing is, if it's controversial to hate this style of football, I think it's more controversial to not be happy and say nothing.
Yeah. I told you last week, and look, I know there's no point in telling Len this, but because I know he knows it, right? In the old days, and Huey taught me this when I was writing for Clarence Hugh, we'd write a story report that we knew was absolutely bollocks. You know, it would be some fanciful that we're going to sign Ronaldo or something, right? And we would put the word report.
Why would
report,
you do that?
You know, so we put report Ronaldo to sign, right? And then we'd write it going, it has been reported, it is unsubstantiated, and just put all these kind of disclaimers in, right? That would get, I don't know, 20,000 reads, right? Then you'd write, about an hour later, you'd write a denial. You'd talk to the club afterwards and go, what about this? We're going to sign Ronaldo. And they go, it's complete made-up bollocks,
oh,
right?
Goodness, yeah.
We'd then print an exclusive, word exclusive on the headline. Exclusive, Ronaldo story is made-up bollocks. 500 people would read it. People don't want to read the truth. They want controversy. They want drama. They want, coming back to you, entertainment, Nick.
That's what you are.
You're an entertainer.
It's entertainment, but something we've never done. We've never lied. I would never do that. I'm not saying we always get it right. We don't. But we would never, ever go out to peddle a story that we knew was wrong.
Yeah, but there are plenty of them out there. You know, Football Insider for one, you know? There are people that get paid for exclusives where you read these transfer stories. And I do say often transfer windows a bit like an entertainment business, you know?
It's becoming less of an entertainment business.
Giving people what they want, you know? We can link with 100 players. Anyway, we digress. Back to the game. Where were we? We were, you know, he started with, I think it was a 4-3-3. Fabianski in goal, Johnson, Dinos, Agur, Cresswell at the back, Ward-Prowse, Souček and Pakatar in the middle, Fornells, Mbama and Benrahma. Look, everyone's been calling, including Unic, to start Mbama. So, you know, it was the right squad for a midweek game, wasn't it?
I was pleased, to be honest, when I saw the lineup. But then you see, if you look at the strikers that have failed, well, look at the one that failed this weekend, Bowen. If you look at the strikers that have failed, Haller, Skamaka, Danny Ings, who scored everywhere else apart from here. Now he's finished, apparently. Antonio ain't scored for ages. Now Mbama, then Bowen. People are criticising Mbama now, and they're backing up David Moyes' decision to not use him, and they're saying, well, look at him. He didn't do anything. He tried to emulate Antonio. He tried to do the one-man press. He tried to run from deep, run aimlessly.
Who? Mbama did?
Mbama. He was chasing. He was working hard, and it's fruitless. That podcast that Antonio rightly got chastised for because of the timing of it before the final, with what he said in that podcast where he said the strikers in this club have to feed off scraps, he was 100% right. I don't know who I would dislike enough to put in that forward position. It's a horrible position to play. And I don't think Mbama had a chance. And he couldn't wait to hook him off. And when Danny Ings came on, wasn't any better, was he? I know, he wasn't any better. What did Danny Ings do?
We came on, funny you should say that. So his first substitutions were on 67 minutes.
Yeah.
Ings and Corne for Mbama and Benrahma. Obviously, they did nothing. And then he took off Johnson. And put on Kerr on 79. I took off Cresswell and put on Emerson on 79. So,
it was lovely. It was really good to see Corne. I've got to be honest. I think he looked good, didn't he?
I thought so.
Well, for the 11 minutes he was on the pitch,
he did. He looked good. He was running at the running at the defence. It was a wonderful cross that he put in, wasn't it? For Souček. Really
yeah,
was.
No, you're right.
But not enough to earn him 2 minutes at the weekend, though, that we're going to go on and talk about.
No. So, look, as has happened, our blushes, the players' blushes and the manager's blushes were saved by Souček.
You called it, Sean.
What?
You said that would happen in
the
WhatsApp group.
Yeah, I did, didn't I? I did. In the WhatsApp group, I'd said... you know, you watch, we're going to score in the last 10 minutes. I don't know if I said Souček, but he did. John was going, this is the most boring thing I've ever seen.
I went, really? He was right.
He's right. It was
I
awful.
Said, you said that last week. And Souček to the rescue. 3 points, top of the group. You know, job done. You know, It's a results business, Nick. Results business.
Is it? Can I ask you something?
Yeah, it is.
Sean, is this any more unentertaining than if you just look at the last four games? Focus on the last three. So say Burnley and TSC. Is that worse than what we was watching under Sam Allardyce? Is it worse?
Do you know what? I'm going to be a bit controversial myself, right? I don't go to football for the tippy-tappy football. I go for the overall atmosphere. And do you know what? We're getting to the next game. I was entertained on Sunday. And, you know, there was a bit of drama. And I don't subscribe to this ticky-tacky West Ham way entertaining football. We didn't sign up. I, a West Ham fan, didn't sign up thinking that I was going to watch, that part of the deal of being a West Ham fan was to watch attractive football. So I take it out as it comes. I really do.
What about yourself, Len, on that?
How do you feel about it? I think it's less entertaining than Allardyce. And I can say that now. I'm not going to get near being off.
Because you've got your mate on. Yeah.
Well, I ain't got Nigel here to tell us otherwise.
You're getting up on Sean.
No, I don't know why it is, but it's just... listen, I'm not much of a football tactician, really, but
no.
I've worked this out. And if I can work it out, and I know it's going to happen, and consequently it does happen, then how is it good, really? I'm not saying... I think we got enough to sort of beat, you know, the teams that we're supposed to beat, and consequently Moyes Ball does that, but no, I'm not happy with it. Put it this way, right? I couldn't, on the weekend just gone, I knew I was going to miss meeting up for a pre-match drink, so I didn't fucking bother going, so I just didn't want to go and watch Moyes Ball, and that's what we got.
I know. You're hearing it more and more, and we asked the question yesterday. We said, you know, one of the quotes that David Moyes has said before, he said, look, you know, West Ham are flaky. We're not flaky old West Ham anymore. What he means by that is we win the games that we should win. And
yeah. If
we go and beat Sheffield United, we'll beat Burnley, we'll beat Bournemouth. And that's fine. So you can guarantee in the fixture list, we'll go and we'll get the 3 points in those games. But beyond that, then if you look over the trend of the last 2 years, that's not the case. So what would you prefer? Because for me... I hate the predictability in football. I would rather have a situation whereby West Ham were always the type of team where you could lose the teams that you lose the games that you should win, and then you go and win some of the games that you shouldn't. It was kind of a bit basket casey. It was more invested. It was more chaotic.
Yeah.
And you just don't have, everything's just so beige.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think when it comes to the Premier League, I think we should just be a little bit more gung-ho because of the situation that we're in this year.
Yeah.
That really there's a bit of crap in it. We may as well be a little bit more ambitious, because Moyes is going to lose his job otherwise, and I don't really see what he's doing about that.
We're never going to get relegated this year. We could lose the next
eight,
and we won't be in a relegation zone. I'm certain of it. So you're right. I don't know why he wouldn't just kind of unleash the players a little bit earlier, like he does late in games that we're seeing. The last 10 minutes are fine, aren't they?
Yeah.
We seem to be going for
crosses
the game
going in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Until then, we just keep our shape. Maybe put a long diagonal from Agüero. He's work it out. It's just...
Oi, you miserable bastards. We're top of our group in Europa League.
We can go on
and qualify for the Champions League. Already the most successful manager in the history of West Ham, with the biggest win rate, with the most points per game, right? This guy could qualify for the fourth season in Europe in the fucking Champions League, boys. And you'd still be going, well, it's still fucking Moyes Ball. I still don't enjoy watching it, right?
No, I wouldn't be saying that because if we do get in the Champions League, right, he'll get an extension and we'll have better players to play Moyes Ball.
I just don't think they're right. I think we've seen a rapid decline of football because when he first came in, he was working with... I've worked it all out, Sean.
Go on.
He's basically working with other people's players when he first came in. He also had COVID. So when he came in for the second time...
He had COVID?
Second part, No, we had COVID.
So, all right, okay.
So for the second part of that season was just as bad as the first. We accrued one more point than what Pellegrini did in the first 19 games. Then the second season starts, which was his most successful, if you like. And COVID hit. And I do think, and this isn't a criticism of West Ham fans, because I think David Moyes' football, his style of football, will never yield a good atmosphere in that stadium. Not consistently, it won't. It's a terrible atmosphere in there. And yep. You know what? I think that COVID, having no fans, affected other clubs more than it affected West Ham. So they lost their home advantage. And I think that suited David Moyes. He was working with other people's players. What we're seeing now, the more money he spends and the better our team looks on paper, the worse the football is getting, because he's building a team in his own dour image. That's why. That's what I think. So I think
good
it's
conspiracy.
A downward...
Good story, bro.
I think it's a downward spiral.
Good story, bro.
I think
it is. Good
I think
conspiracy
you,
theory.
You could throw $200-300 more million at him. We wouldn't be playing prettier football. He's too cautious.
Your irrational
very cautious
of David Moyes is commendable.
It's entirely rational.
Says you. The great thing about crazy people is they don't know they're crazy. I've mentioned this before. Crazy people don't know. They just go. They wake up and go, I've got no idea how crazy I've become.
But the thing is, Sean, you speak on behalf of the board, so you're very much.
I'm not an official spokesman.
Yeah, but you are. You're an unofficial spokesman. So, you know, you do kind of fly the flag for them. So you're saying the things that they want to hear, which is what they want, the fans to be happy with what they're being served up. That's what they want. But the fact of the matter is the fans are not. And if they're taking notice of social media channels, if they're looking at forums, very, very few of them now, the majority of them, you struggle to run a poll now. I ran a poll on, I like running polls, same as you do. But I ran a poll after the game yesterday and I said, if you could click your fingers, bang, and David Moyes is gone tomorrow.
I know. I voted.
Right. And would you vote if he's gone? And 79% voted. Yes, I want him gone.
Which way did I vote, Nick?
Well, you would have secretly voted out because you really don't like him, but you can't say that.
Yeah, that's what I think you did. I voted out.
I didn't.
I voted out. Life's too short not to vote out. Nothing matters anyway.
I just don't know who I'd replace him with at the moment.
Look, I don't care. We've got trust in Timmy. I keep telling you.
We're getting off the point of the... And we will come on back to Moyes. But, you know, as I said last week or the week before, you know, my personal position, yes, I'm frustrated with him. I'm frustrated with him on the game we're about to move into. But you know what? If he wins a cup or gets us into Europe... So, for me, if he wins the League Cup... Right, we're in the quarterfinals. I know we're against Liverpool. If we win the FA Cup, I know we're playing Bristol at home.
That's not a bigger riff.
If we finish seventh or above, or if we win the Europa League, right? Four chances.
Seventh or above.
Seventh or above.
Are you watching the football at the moment, Sean?
Watching football?
Are you watching?
I'm watching ours. It's the worst brand in the league.
Are you watching the football at the moment? Honestly, we've scraped our last four wins.
Luck doesn't last forever. He's been lucky. Sometimes, you know, it's not all about football. It's about doner kebabs getting onto the footy screen.
Oh, it's about getting your stuff on your phone.
But explain the empty seats that we're seeing more and more of.
We will go back to find out about the game unless... do you have anything to say about the Europa game, Len, before we...
No, absolutely not. Let's move on, because there's nothing to talk about.
If we talk about the Premier League game, there was a train strike. I struggled to get there yesterday, if I'm honest with you. And I know number of tickets sold, 62,457 or 59. So all the tickets were sold, so the West Ham still get their money. But, you know, it was a struggle. It's the beginning of the train strikes. Half of my trains were cancelled from Surrey. The trains were absolutely packed. The Jubilee was absolutely packed because lack of trains meant, you know, it was a struggle. It was wet and it was raining. Even the enticement of an El Toro free scarf couldn't get me there early. And I know there were ticket problems as well, which I think Len will tell you about. But, you know, I did struggle to get there yesterday. And I think a lot of people just saw train strikes. Palace, I can't be arsed.
It's not worth the effort.
It's not worth the effort.
I mean, not for Moyes, Ball. That's literally what I said.
I'm going to throw John under a bus, which I don't like doing because he's my best mate. But
you're going to do it.
I'm going to do it anyway. He bought a season ticket, right?
He's had enough already.
He got lucky getting a season ticket.
Really lucky.
You know, I helped him get lucky. How many games, Premier League games, do you think he's been to so far? How many Premier League games have we had this season, Nick?
What are we on match? We're on 13. Is it 13? I'll get confused with my own kids' league. Hang on. What are we up to now in terms of fixtures? Is it 13 or 14?
It's a good question.
You're counting down.
Match day 14. So we've had, how many home games have we had?
It's either six or seven, isn't it?
Palace at home, one, two, three, four, five. This is good radio, this, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Normal standard.
What we had about six?
Six.
Six or seven.
Now, how many do you reckon he's been to? With his new season ticket. One.
No, he's been to two.
No, two. The other one was the Europa League, mate.
Hang on. I've been to the ABBA bar with him, and I've been to that Wankers bar with him. So that's twice.
Yeah, he hasn't. I'm pretty sure he's only been to one. I bumped into the mate that we also helped him get a ticket, and he said he's only been to one.
That's Sean's favourite bar, the Wankers bar.
The ABBA bar's bloody good, actually. Yeah. It's much more entertaining than Moyes football. Anyway, let's talk about the game, right? Did you go, Nick?
What, on Thursday?
No, on Sunday.
Oh, on Sunday, yes, I went on Sunday, yes.
Yeah, and were your trains cocked up? And
I drive in, but I know of people that travel from all over, all different areas of London that all made it there. I know people from Germany that went to the game. I also know, because I don't have a season ticket, I haven't had for the last 2 years, and I've also got a network of about 8 to 10 people that have got groups of season tickets that basically they're like John. They don't go to games anymore. And they just can't be bothered with it. And there's more and more. Gary, for the first time in his life,
Gary's got a season ticket, hasn't he?
Gary's got a season ticket, yeah. But he goes literally religiously. And for the first time ever, even he went through it. He suffered Allardyce, but he said this is the first time where it gets to a match day, and I just can't be bothered. I can't be bothered.
So, Len, before we start talking about the football, let's hear your excuse.
I was going to, like I said, I had to do some unexpected shopping for my mum, which made me an hour late, which meant I was going to miss meeting up with you lot. And you were also late, by the way.
I was late because of trains, yeah.
Yeah. So, I just didn't fancy Moyes Ball and then going home. So,
I thought it was another reason.
Well, there was another reason, because my phone went dead after the notification of the ticket come up.
Yeah.
So I had to go and reboot my phone. And well, there's a couple
John
of people
said
that.
His ticket update at 4:30 for a 2 o'clock game.
I got that as well, 4:28. It updated again.
Yeah. But
was there an explanation to it? Because I heard also...
there was no queues at the turnstile, so people were getting through all right. I don't know.
Yeah, but they, you know, it might have been something... I mean, for me going home that time anyway, I was like, oh, I don't really care about the game too much anyway, under the circumstances. Because it's shit. So, that's what happened. But did the club say, did you mention it to the club? Was anything, I know they won't admit anything.
I mentioned it to the club,
that was the point. What's the point? We don't care. They don't care. So, they'll never get spoke about again. But I think there was a couple of ticket problems I had, but... No one really cares.
Do you know if you just went to football, Sean, you go for the whole thing. So you go for the social life, to meet your friends and have a kebab and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a large portion of fans that do go for the football. If you just went for the football, would you go?
For
90 minutes, would you do it? Be honest.
It's a question of loyalty. I'm quite a loyal person. I think it's a question of loyalty. Do I see it as a chore sometimes? Yes, I do.
You're loyal to the wrong people, though.
But I feel my loyalty is, my job is to go and watch West Ham if I'm available. And I would say always have a good time with friends and in the bar and meeting old friends and doing social media stuff and everything else. It's a hard question to answer, but I feel obliged. Nick, I suppose, is the real answer. So, you're obliged.
You're referencing it like it's a relationship.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, absolutely.
So if that is the case, and it's a one-way relationship, because you would expect West Ham to give you something back, wouldn't you? I mean, if you look at...
Yeah, it's
look
a bit of a Loveless Mallory-ish at the moment. Yeah.
Well, it is. I mean...
I'm not going through divorce, you know. I've been through that once, really.
No, but I think there's an awful lot of people that are. This is a problem. And it's something that the club won't care about at the moment because a majority of those empty seats are all sold season tickets, so they won't care right now. But if that started to ever translate to season ticket sales towards the end of the season, which it would, I'm convinced if this football carries on, you'll have a lot of people that just, they'll be going, no more, not for me. You will. I know we've got a massive long waiting list. I know we have. We've got a really long waiting list for season tickets. But
Sean can help you with that.
I can get you through on that. Don't you worry.
No, I'm all right. Thanks.
Narky says he shows loyalty.
What did you do? We'll get to the game in a minute. Talk about your routine because you're not a season ticket holder. I know you do go to quite a few games, pick and choose. Fair enough. What do you do? What is your? You say your drive. What's your routine? Are you meeting up with mates? Are you drinking? Are you eating? Is it about the match day?
No, so Sundays, I'm going over there purely for the football. So I manage my son's under 15s. Oh,
I remember,
team.
Yeah.
For instance, this Sunday, up at 6, walk the dogs till 9, then I'm over Cuffley. I've got my son's football from between 10 and 1 o'clock. I then get my son, we're all cold and wet because we've been standing out in the cold, threw him in the car, dashed down to Stratford, and then sat in the cold and wet in that stadium watching that. And within 20 minutes, 30 minutes, even though we were running 1-0 up, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, why am I even here? Why?
Yeah.
It was dull. There was no atmosphere.
I do get you, Nick. That's the worst. My son, I don't know if you know this, he plays for a Saturday and Sunday and team. Horsley Harriers and Horsley Bees. And when I told... he was a right back but, and then right wing. He's now playing striker.
Okay.
Got a hat trick the other week. So he's getting a bit more confidence. But when we said, we're going to West Ham, going, well, where's your loyalty? Where's your loyalty to your under 17 team? It's all very serious. And you probably, I don't know if you listen to the podcast, we had a mass fight on the pitch when one under 17 opposition punched another one of ours. And it ended up with a sort of 11 by 11 scrap. And I had to get in front of two of the players and someone said to me, you get out of my way, Grandpa, or I'll knock you out. And I just started laughing.
Well, they're big lads.
We're getting that now
in the under 15s. But I mean, bearing in mind your area, like out in Surrey, that's going to be quite a tame.
It's quite nice. This is what made it even funnier, you got. I mean, it was all, no, apart from one black eye from the guy who got punched, the rest of it was all, you know, a bit of handbags at dawn kind of thing. Had to make a statement to the Surrey FA, though. We'll take it very seriously. Do you know what? Our player got red carded. £55 fine. Blimey. Is that the norm?
£55.
For under 17.
It is the norm, yeah. It's the norm.
Anyway, we digress. But I do like Sunday League football.
Well, I'm the manager, but I've got to be honest with you. I get far more out of that than I do out of West Ham.
I enjoy watching it.
Friendly
play on. Anyway, so for you, it's second priority after your sons because you're the manager.
Yeah.
But I do see that. You know, if football's all you go for, then Sunday would have been disappointing. But you know what? Where we sit next to the away fans, we have a little bit of banter, and we did have our banter. I've read somewhere online and people go, oh yeah, they sing, we're champions of Europe, you know what? The sound doesn't travel around the stadium, and I don't know where you sit and where you were on Sunday, but in our area, which is the old Chav Corner that got moved into next to the away fans lower, you know, we do have a little bit of a chant and sing song. Yes, it is quiet at times, but you know, it's probably noisier than most other places, apart from Bobby Moore Lower.
No, that's it. Yeah, that's probably the best place to be where you are, even though.
And we always stand, right? We don't sit. Yeah. You know, sitting is alien to me. Watching football, I think that would add to my boredom if I had to sit down. I don't know. Can't remember the last time I sat down at football.
Yeah, I had lovely seats, Category 1 seats, right on the halfway line. Very nice. I mean, you're quite close to the pitch as well. It was fine. The view was lovely, but like I said, I had seats all around me, and there's people, there's people just kind of having conversations while the game's going on. Not even really, I can understand it. I was the same. I was talking to, and you can, because you haven't even got a whisper in each other's ear. There was hardly any noise there at all. Not where I was sat anyway. Like you said, the acoustics in that place are a nightmare.
Yeah, it's really weird. I can't even hear sometimes the other side of the away fans in Trevor Brook in Lower. You can see them clapping and like chanting, but you can't hear what they say. The acoustics just doesn't travel around that stadium.
No, sound just leaks out of it. It does. And I think that's also why it's hard to get a song going in sync, because it takes time for the sound to travel.
I totally get you. So we'll come on to the stadium capacity story a bit later. But look, Nick, let's get back to the football.
What we need, more empty seats.
Yeah, well, the truth, right? We can tell the truth here. Right. Nick, let's talk about the game, because, you know, I don't know. They're a bit of a bogey side, Palace. Obviously, Kurt Zouma was missing from the lineup. We knew. We were worried about Kudus because he'd been ill. We didn't mention that, but obviously, Kudus and Alvarez were missing because they had a virus, a winter virus, and so did Soufal, actually. So three of them were missing midweek. We didn't know whether they'd start. All three were available and did start. And of course, Bowen, who had fluid on the knee, I did speculate quite a while, got lucky that he'd be back for Palace, and he was, because it was about 12 days of fluid on the knee. So, look, on paper, we had the best team starting, really, if you exclude Antonio. So where did it all go wrong? Because, you know, there was enough players to the job, isn't there?
Yeah. But I think this comes back to football. If you look at, you can see that our team, and I honestly, it's almost like we're not coached, and I mean that as well. I mean that if you look at teams like Brighton, if you look at Aston Villa, if you look at the way that they play, the patterns of play, that is hard work, sweat and tears that go into the training ground. What we seem to do, Sean, is just get a collection of good players, throw.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Them into a system. They all know their jobs. They know their position on a pitch. They know where they're supposed to stand. It's like human chess. They know what their defensive duties are. But when it comes to an offensive outlet, we've been doing it now for two or three games. You talk about, I mean, against Burnley. Against TSC, I think it was. I think it was Agüero, played 23, the same 23 long balls. Only seven of them were successful. And what we're doing now, because Moyes knows we haven't really got a midfield because he's got two specialists in the middle with James Ward-Prowse and Souček, who are not good box-to-box midfielders. It ain't a good pivot either side of Alvarez. We haven't really got much of a midfield. They're good specialists at what they do, but that is a poor, poor midfield. So what we're doing is we're bypassing our midfield. We're getting the ball out to Agüero and we're launching the ball long. That is what we're doing now. It is literally long ball football.
Yeah, yeah.
Without a clear target, man.
Yeah, no, that's what I did see that. But in spite of that, you got to have been impressed that one of those balls did come off. Who did it come from?
James Ward-Prowse.
So, James Ward-Prowse.
Caduce won the ball.
To Soufal.
Yeah.
And Soufal crossed it in.
It was a beautiful goal.
Beautiful goal by Caduce. Mm. Yeah. Who's in my fancy team. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good player. He was a real positive from that game because he and Arthur, good player.
And, you know, all right. They didn't really come into it. In that first half, I didn't think Palace looked like scoring. I know they had a few. I can't remember how many shots they had on target first half. But they didn't seem that special. They looked there for the taking.
I thought
we would go 2-0 up before the break. I must admit, you know, after that early goal, I thought we need another one to settle our nerves.
But he hasn't got the killer touch though, Moyes, is he, with anything like that? Well, what he does is he's quite happy. The worst thing that we could have done in that game, I'm convinced, is score early.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, the guy I sit next to, or stand next to, called Mark Murphy, he's a very wise man. Known him for many years. And he said to me, the second half was about to start, and he said, they're scoring in the first 10 minutes. He said, Palace will score in the first 10 minutes of the second half because it always happens. I said, oh, yeah, should have a bet on that. He said, but you watch it. And after 8 minutes, I'm going, well, and literally.
we've conceded so many.
They scored.
And so many.
And, you know, Mavropanos. Kind of, look, I know you want to blame Moyes for this, but Mavropanos, what? Big mistake that is, and I thought, who was it? Alvarez should have done better. Was it Alvarez back there?
It was Alvarez, but I think that tactic that David Moyes deployed, because like I said to you, the idea has been for us to this is what has happened, Sean. So the idea has been our outlet has been getting the long ball out to Aguirre. So what we've been doing is we've been dropping Alvarez.
What do you call him? Aguirre.
Aguirre, but he's been dropping.
Do you call him Aguirre? Is his name Aguirre? Because I'm sure Nathan, it is Aguirre.
But what Alvarez has been doing is dropping deep between the two centre backs to split them. So sometimes he's deeper than them, so that we've got a triangle. Because what teams have started doing is pressing us to stop us getting the ball to Aguirre. That's why we was playing that stupid triangle passing at the back, because we were trying to work it to Aguirre so he could launch it long. That's what we was trying to do. That was from the training ground.
So it's 1-1. Right, and it goes a bit dark, and you think, oh God, we could lose this. But and I'll come to you in a minute, Len.
That's all right.
In the last 10 minutes, I really thought we were going to get the winner. I mean, it was non-stop West Ham. You say it was boring. The expectation, the excitement.
I left on 85 minutes.
Oh, you're joking!
Oh, Nicky boy!
Honestly, I left on 85 minutes with a load of
how
other
could
fans
you
as well.
Leave?
Because you know what? I didn't
it was
even
non-stop
care.
West Ham.
I'm so bored.
You missed the best part of the match, mate, because we had 6 minutes of extra time. You missed 11 minutes of pure entertainment.
Too late.
We can't be jammy every fucking game, Sean.
I know that.
Yeah.
Do you know what? And my other guy, I've got three West Ham guys. I've got Areola in goal. I've got Kudos. I've got Bowen. Bowen missed an absolute sitter. Did you see the replay, Nick?
What, the header?
Right at the end.
Yeah. I saw the replay. The header. It was from a corner, wasn't it?
Was it from a corner?
It was a header straight at the keeper, wasn't it?
I thought it was a bit closer than that. I'm trying to. I thought there was another chance, but I might be wrong.
No. Look, we did. We created a few more chances, but that was a game, you know, between two of the antichrists of football against David Moyes and Roy Hodgson. It was very even. It was an even game. Neither team were enterprising, really. Yeah. Not really. You know, they had Elise, who looked good. We had Caduce, who looked good. It was quite evenly matched. There was there was a serious lack of intensity from both teams.
And then I often say it's a game of inches and small margins.
Millimeters in your case, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. It could have gone the other way. You know, he's right. It's very small margins. Len, let's talk to you. 55% possession at home for Mr. Moyes. 45% for the Eagles. 9 shots for West Ham, 3 of them on target. Palace, the Eagles had 9 shots as well, with only 2 on target. We had 2 corners, they had 3. West Ham fouled 17 times. Dirty West Ham, 2 Palace's 7. I know you didn't come.
You're right.
But you watched it, though. After all this build-up, I go, yeah, no, I carried on painting. Did you watch right
to
the end?
No, I watched it, but it's actually getting a little bit like you're drifting off.
You're not taking anything in.
There's
nothing.
You get
to that age where you're a little sleep, do you?
Well, I don't tend to... No, not just go into a bit of a trance, just to be bored into a little bit of a trance, because I seem to remember the other games of the weekend more than theirs. That can't be right. Can it?
It shouldn't be, no.
I mean, you said about them 3 shots on goal. I remember Kudus's shot. I'm trying to think what the other two were. Can anyone think?
You can't, can you? No, didn't. Oh, really. Mavropanos. Mavropanos had a shot on goal.
Did he?
Yeah. Whether it was on target or not.
I can't remember that. Mavropanos did. I think one of the best chances of the game was, it was good, and that was when Paqueta was moved central. Do you remember he played that lovely lovely pass through to Emerson? It was from a central area. He's played a lovely ball through to Emerson, who's come through on the left-hand side. And he was at full stretch. He couldn't do anything with it. But that was a good passage of play. There was moments. We've got great individual players, haven't we? Great individual players.
Yeah. And look, we're going to really miss Kudus when he goes off for the African Nations, because he's getting stronger and stronger by every game.
He's a strong boy.
He's a great player.
Have you heard the noise? You know the noise that it makes? You know, like when he chest controls a ball? It's like a doof.
Oh, is it?
He's so solid, honestly.
No.
When you consider he's such quite a small guy, he's half powerful. He really is strong. You ain't knocking him off the ball. He's a really good
guy. Unlike Paqueta.
Paqueta is strong.
Paqueta annoyed the hell out of me. He really does. He had a poor game.
Cool, not much.
And he just goes down. I mean, we can all see he's just going down like a sack of suds. And you're going, get up. No, you're not fooling anyone. You're not fooling the ref. You're not fooling 62,000 people. All right, 50,000 people. I thought he could have got booked for diving a few times.
He looks like he doesn't want to be there now, Sean.
I don't know, but there's something going on with him because Kudos is a star and he's not. Anyway, Len, give us your tactical insight to the game.
Well, funny enough, you talk about tactical insight. I've already said I don't know much about it, but the last 3 games, well, let's be honest. If you look at the Wednesday night game and the game last weekend, they were identical, the Burnley game, and we won it. And the same kind of process went on Sunday. He doesn't... the first time the ball came in from wide, we scored. And then after that, he didn't really try and do that again. There was no crosses put in. He kind of sacrifices wingers or wide players to sort of play everything, kind of keep everything tight, really. What's the word? He sets up to sort of... He sets them up. They don't really break the ranks. It's just... Eventually, I'm glad we got to go early. We didn't try to push on.
Respect
and,
the point.
And do you know what?
Ben, respect the point.
No, because I'm just it's about to say. Well, fine. But listen, you've got to take your chances. Palace offered nothing. Actually, and nor did the other team in the week. They offered nothing either. Nothing and nor did all. Last week. They offered. Last 3 games, the opposition have offered nothing. And we struggled.
Len, do you feel like there's a level of arrogance creeping in with Moyes where it's worked now for 4 games? I ain't got to do anything until the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll make it at the end.
Yeah.
And it's like he tried to do it again.
I think there's a level of arrogance to the fact that he's thinking himself, I'm not going to get renewed. This is what I am. This is what makes me work. I'm going to keep doing it. And I think it could actually be detrimental to the club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way... There's a little hum on your microphone, by the way, tonight, Len.
Who's one?
Is it?
Len's, yeah. I don't know why. Yeah, you muted there, did you?
No.
It went away. There was a hum.
Well, I can hear a hum now.
Well, I'll mute mine. Look, hang on.
How about that?
No, the hum's still there.
Oh, it must be me. I don't know why
It's not usual. But anyway, we apologise for the hum. humdrum.
but Sean, just to pick up on what you said earlier on, where you said Mavropanos cost us the points. Now, look, he did, because he made a mistake which led to a goal.
Yeah.
But there were 35 minutes left in that game where David Moyes had the likes of Kone. He could have made
I'm going to criticise Moyes.
He's in game
he
management.
He should have made... Who did he bring on? He brought on Fornals.
Yeah.
He should have brought on Mbama or... someone,
Cornet.
I don't know, he just left it too late. Cornet, yeah.
Yeah.
He just seemed to leave the whole substitution in a game that was there to be won. He takes off Alvarez and brings on Fornals. And I was just thinking, well, why is that a winning? You know, it was very obvious that Palace were there for the draw, you know? It fell right into there. They were happy, you know. They were time wasting after they scored. They were going, yeah. They'd lost four in a row. So you just thinking they were happy with the draw, and you know, I was getting frustrated with the ref that he wasn't booking the goalkeeper for wasting time. But look, we didn't take our chances, and we didn't deserve it. Respect the point. We're still top 10, and we're still in all the cups, right? All three cups. I'm an optimist, Nick. So that's the way I look at it. We're in three cups. We can still finish at seventh and get Europa Conference League. So, you know, or even Europa League again without winning any of the three cups. So, you know.
It's all there to play for.
It's all there to play for.
It is.
Let's move on a little bit. Well, actually, before we do that, you've got a little clip, haven't you, Nick? Because
yes.
We talked about this and I've missed this. David Moyes apparently, make your own mind up, apparently, allegedly, blaming the atmosphere at the London Stadium for the loss.
Yes. See if I can get this working again. Ready?
Yeah. Crystal Palace. I'm a little bit mixed. I'm disappointed we didn't maybe take all 3 points, but in the same breath, you know, we're just not quite getting it on Sunday at 2 o'clock here at the stadium. You know, we're finding it really hard to probably build up a good enough atmosphere. Maybe it's we're not playing well enough, or you know, just within the stadium. But overall, look, we got a goal in front. We scored a really good goal.
Sorry, that's where the clip ends.
Yeah, but do you know what? He does go on one of the other clips, because I published on Twitter the BBC interview. It's 2.5 minutes. And the Sky one, which is about 3.5 minutes. And he does say, and I'll agree, and hopefully you two agree, What's this 2 o'clock Sunday kickoff about? What the hell is that about?
I don't like it. It's always somebody else's fault.
I know that, but he did say maybe we did. Listen to the words, right? Maybe we didn't play well enough. He didn't just blame the crowd. Maybe it's the atmosphere. But you know what? It was.
He didn't say anything really. He just
it's the guff, 2 o'clock.
AI
I hate
Sean
the
puts
2 o'clock
it.
Sunday. It is guff. I hate the 2 o'clock Sunday kickoff.
Well, after you haven't won or before?
No, I just don't like it. I was supposed to be on Talk TV, thank God, with Mark Sagers, but it was my stepdaughter's 14th birthday, so we went to a Mexican restaurant in Cheam in Surrey instead of talking to Mark Sagers about bollocks.
Very nice indeed.
Anyway, nice. News time before we go to question time.
Go on.
London Stadium, Daily Mail said... We are had informal talks to increase capacity to 68,013.
Don't fill it up now.
A bullshit. Look, we have got rights to go to 60. There are 68,013 seats, right? After we did the West Stand extension, right? There is a clause in there saying that we will pay more money, £200,000. It will take us to over £4 million a year, not £2.5 million, like some papers like to say we pay in rent. And it would take us 68,013, right? And it would make us the second biggest in the land after Old Trafford. However, one, we haven't had informal talks. We don't need them. Two, we haven't applied for planning permission. We need to build more toilets, more catering. We haven't had that conversation. We need a license to... spectator license from Noon Council. We haven't asked for that. Why is this story in the Daily Mail? Can anyone answer?
No.
No idea.
Well, it's in the Daily Mail because a certain...
Probably come from one of your tweets, probably.
Rothschilds
right.
have put it in their prospectus to sell gold family shares.
Ah, makes sense.
Yeah. So it, yeah. being hawked around the investment, oh, you know, if you want to buy a 10% share of West Ham, by the way, we've got a future permission to go to 68,013. So that's why it's a sales pitch from Rothschild to sell the gold or some of the gold family shares. The same, by the way, can be said of the naming rights, because if you read certain papers, you would believe that naming rights are going to Allianz and it's a done deal. Well, again, sorry to spoil the illusion, but this is a story planted by the owners, London.
Is that not true?
That's not true.
That would be bad.
It's true they're interested, but it's not true. Yeah. It's about to happen because West Ham have got the right of veto and have to sign on off on it. West Ham have not yet, so it's not imminent. The reason this was leaked into the media by the stadium owners, London Legacy Development Corporation (LLDC), is they're about to have a London Assembly meeting where they're going to be grilled by the London Assembly members, including one, Susan Hall. Who is Susan Hall, I hear you say?
She's running for mayor.
She's running for mayor. And she's...
For you movie buffs.
Right. She has got a bee in a bonnet. She doesn't like West Ham or football, but she's got a bee in a bonnet about naming rights. And she's been taking...
She'll get on well with Moyes then if you don't like
she's
West Ham
been
or football.
She's been getting on at Lynn Gardner, the CEO of LLDC, to sell the bloody naming rights because it's a fiasco. So they've leaked it to show ahead of this London Assembly, which is going to be in the next week, that they're doing something about it. But my sources at Club go, yep, Allianz are interested. They're only interested in the football. They could be a future sponsor of the shirts. However, it's not a done deal yet, and West Ham have the right of veto. West Ham, by the way, believe in their contract. It's not £4 million a year, but they get a 50% split after the first £4 million of the contract. Yeah. So there you go. More legacy, more controversy, more legal fights over who gets the money from the naming rights. So this one will go on and on. The last story about West Ham, well, not last story, but before we move on to players and Moyes, is when we played in Europe, everyone was going, ooh, what's this new sponsor? BW Scores. I'm sure you know the answer.
It's a loophole.
It's a loophole because and then Betway are not the only people to do this. They've created a free website that gives, guess what? It gives out sports scores around the world free of charge. Just happened to be sponsored by Betway, owned by Betway, and got Betway betting apps all over it. But because it's not actually betting and it doesn't say Betway, they're allowed to put it on. We didn't get paid any more money. It's part of Betway's deal, but it's just a loophole to say, well, it's not a gambling company. It's a results company.
They've took that long to think of that, then, have they?
Yeah, I know.
Fucking
I think they got the idea of somewhere else because I forget who it has got a scores app like that. And it's not BW Scores. It's somewhere else. It's anyway. Anywho, two other stories. Well, your mate.
Sean, before you move on from that,
yeah,
you know the story around Rothschilds, you know, obviously hawking out the shares for the Gold family, for Jacqueline.
Yeah.
Why is
Jacqueline?
Oh, Vanessa. Sorry, not Jacqueline. Yes, I know. Sorry. Yeah. Why is that happening? Has there been a disagreement over price? Because surely she'd be looking to sell to either Gold or Sullivan or Kretinsky.
So the interesting thing is. So they have it's called a put option. I think it's called a put option where both Kretinsky. Well, first David Sullivan had first refusal as the largest shareholder. Then Kretinsky, then Tripp Smith of any shares, and they were approached, but for whatever reason, none of them want to change the status quo and take the extra shares. Now, it should be said, out of the 25%, the Gold family are not looking to sell. It's going to be somewhere between 8 and 10%. And there is a reason for that, right? Number one, death duties are due, right? So you have got some inheritance tax. But for whatever reason, 8% of West Ham shares were owned in a family trust or two family trusts. And the other 17% were a whole held at the time of his death in David Gold's own name, right? That means it's due for inheritance tax. as it should be, any assets.
Yep.
But there's a rule inheritance tax, which is if it's a family-owned company and the family hold on to it for a certain number of years, you don't have to pay inheritance tax. So the problem is if they sold all of 25%, not only would they have to pay capital gains tax on whatever they 20% of whatever he bought the shares originally, they would have to pay another 40% inheritance tax. But my understanding is the amount in the shares in the trust, in family trust, that been in the family trust for some time, 8%, can be sold, and that money raised will help pay off the debts for the estate, you know, any inheritance tax. So that was a long-winded way of saying that.
Fair enough.
However, my understanding is none of the others want to increase their shareholding, and they're happy, and this will tell you a lot, they're happy to get a new investor in. So it shows you they want to, and David Sullivan's always said that, they want to share the investment. This idea that...
It's going to become a consultant. We're going to have the world's biggest bloody directors.
It is. And this idea that Kredinsky wants to take over is so far-fetched. Now, does Kredinsky want one day for a big, I know, billionaire to come in and double his money? Absolutely. Does Tripp Smith want that? Yes. Would the Gold family stand in the way? Probably not. Would Sullivan stand in the way? Probably not. But that's where they get their payday, when West Ham is valued for £1 billion or more, and they all double their money.
Right. Are the shares out of probate yet?
No. Well, they're in pro. They are in. Yes. Gold shares are out of probate. I think that came in March. Jacqueline's, I don't know, are out of probate.
Right. Okay.
There was a will for Gold. Jacqueline's a bit. I haven't read whether they're out of probate, but there still is this tax issue on inheritance tax and capital gains tax. But I expect, if cut long story short, I expect to see a new shareholder of work that will come in with about 8%. That's what I expect to see. Maybe 10. Anywho, In the meantime, David Sullivan is selling one of his houses, if you've seen this, in Portland Place, for £80 million.
I thought you were going to say kidney then. When you said he was going to sell something.
But if it is kidney, it'd be worth £80 million.
Well, I think he bought it for 27. And he spent £50 million doing it up. So is he only selling it for £3 million gain? I don't know. That seems
is
to
he,
be.
Is he selling it?
It was the place. Did you see the King's speech? The film?
No. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yes.
It's where they filmed that in there. They used to have sex parties in that. And not before Sullivan owned it. They used to
Of course. That's the best thing he knows of the property. Yeah, that's why I bought it. Fuck's sake. Oh, no, the place. Yeah.
21 bedrooms, 13 bathrooms, and 9 reception rooms. A snip at 80 million in Marrowblown. Kurt Zouma, as you've probably heard by now, I was told just before the game by the club that he'd had personal family issues. They wouldn't say what it was at the time, but it's now been revealed today that armed robbers broke into his Billericay home, £3 million home. I think it's gated, as I remember. Stole £100,000 of jewellery and watches.
Cat burglars?
Well, that's really not nice, is it? Come on, Nick. That's a bit below the belt.
He was in the home as well, wasn't he?
He was, with his family. So he's a bit choken up. And Essex Police stayed with him.
He's a big guy, though, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's
know. But if they're armed, right, what are you going to do with your family? You're going to, you know...
didn't know. So they were armed. It was gated. And they went in there. And he was in there.
He was in there, yeah.
Boy, and then
I don't know if they were confronted or whether he disturbed them and they
it's
ran off.
It's a fucking big house if you don't fucking see him there, isn't it?
I think it is a big house from what I've seen. It's a very posh little village just off Billericay, if I've got the right one. But
That makes it even more insecure when it's gated, because once people are in, they can almost do what they want to a degree.
Yeah, I'm sure that they're targeting footballers. Maybe they thought he'd be away on a Saturday. I thought players stayed at a hotel before a home game. Someone told me that
the
players stay together in like Stratford in a hotel.
Well, it used to be Waltham Abbey, didn't it?
Yeah.
The Marriott, wasn't it?
Yeah, or the Swift, wasn't it? Might be a Marriott now, but I think it was the Swift at the time. Swift Hotel. I might be wrong. Don't quote me on
obviously,
that.
Bowen's back. The others are back. No more sickness. Antonio's on the mend. Probably another couple of weeks before we see Antonio. We've missed Antonio, I think.
Not as much as he's missed a goal.
Bit on Moyes, before we go to a little bit exclusive. I'm told David Moyes, no decision will be made before January on a renewal, well, Nick.
So when you say no decision, what does that mean? Does that mean that...
So he won't be offered a new contract over between now and January. That is not on the table.
So but is this decision just for if he gets offered a new contract, or is it, no,
yes,
we've run its course, we're going to let
you
go?
He's not going to be sacked in that period either, right? He's not going to be sacked.
Could he be sacked post-January?
Well, I think the powers that be say, let's see how the season goes on. What they've said is, at some point, and I think I've told you this before, that David Sullivan and David Moyes will sit down and have a chat about what each other wants next season. And there will be a frank chat on, what do you want, Moyes? What do you want? What do the club
does
want?
Does it matter what Moyes wants?
My God, what does it matter what he
wants? And if they can't agree, I think they just shake hands and go, well, you know, that's that.
Sounds
and if
fair.
They can agree... but it will depend on what we are, you know, as I've said, I think, where are we with the cup competitions, the free cup competitions? Where are we in the league? And I'm not saying that they're going to wait to the summer till after the season's finished, but I think we're talking spring before those two sit down. And
do you know what my prediction would be? If he got, because we're not going to win a cup this year, right, Sean? I know we're in them all, but we're not going to. If they offered him a new contract in January and he got a new contract extension, you would see a massive, massive fall off of season ticket holders next year. Massive.
I don't think we're going to see that. I think we're... come to talk to me in spring again. But I've been told that no decisions will be made, even though he has got the biggest win percentage of any manager, beyond the caretaker manager in history. I don't know if I've said that. Mm-hmm. And the biggest points per game of any manager in West Ham history. Did I mention that?
Yes.
I don't think he'd be offered a contract anytime soon. But equally, I don't think he'd be sacked anytime soon. So we're in limbo.
I think it will change, as you know, from Sullivan. It will change week to week. I mean, we know he leaked the story after Brentford, you know, to TalkSport. And then we win a couple of games and then he's trying to do reversals. He's trying to sort of reverse the story, because I'm not being funny. I'm not a Moyes fan, but what he did was ridiculous. You know, a guy who's already struggling, if you're gonna keep him for the rest of this season, surely you want to try and make the best out of it. To come out and leak that story can only do further damage and further hinder his ability to control these players, who are probably going to be thinking... Because John made a good point yesterday, and I think you can see it in the stadium now. Do you know what? I think we're all on gardening leave. I think we are. It's like we're all on gardening leave. We're just waiting for the next phase, because this just feels like we're just going through the motions now. The players look like they're doing that on the pitch. There's no atmosphere in the stadium. There's apathy.
Yeah, the atmosphere
everywhere.
Ain't been great, I must admit.
But there's apathy.
But you
everywhere.
Know what?
And
I've
Sullivan
always
has
said
not
this.
Helped that. He hasn't. He's not helped it.
The king is dead. Long live the king. I can't control who's in charge, and I will support whichever manager's in charge that our board decide who are the right people to be in charge.
Because you're an arse licker, that's why.
Yeah, not for me.
Okay, last bit of news, and then we'll go to predictions, and then I think we'll go to another episode for question time.
Oh, all right.
A little bit of an exclusive, which means you've got to wait, Nick, before you run this, right? Because we've got a little...
Don't get your hopes up, Nick, anyway.
I've just scheduled the show as we're
Pablo Fornals has... signed a contract extension. Now, when I say he signed it, okay, so when he signed his original contract, there was a year option. What I don't know is, was the option exercised unilaterally by the club, or did he have a say in it? Because it's a similar situation to Ben Johnson, where Ben Johnson obviously wants to leave, but his option was exercised. So it could be his one-year option was exercised by the club unilaterally, or it could be it was bilaterally, and it was consented by Pablo Fornals. But either way, I think it's good news, and I think it gives us a little bit longer to see whether we can persuade Pablo Fornals to stay, even if, Nick, there's a different manager next season, of course.
Well, if there's a different manager next season, then I think that's going to relieve an awful lot of issues. I mean... That's why I think, Len, would you not say, like, this year, if say you get to February and you're in no risk, say you, I don't know, you might have come, you might have bailed out of the cups, you might be out of the Europa, out of the last 16, you might be, you're not in cups anymore, you're not going to do anything in the league. At that point, it's got to be the perfect time to bring a new manager in, because what they've got is, they've got the world's longest pre-season going into the pre-season as well. And then you might run the risk of a lot of players that are falling, disenchanted with Moyes, that we know that there are. You can kind of repair some of that damage and maybe get them to commit if you get
renew their season ticket.
Yeah.
Really, that would be the way that they're thinking. Someone lined up, I agree, I think they should. If they're not going to get, they've got someone lined up and they don't want to keep him.
Yeah.
Yes, they should. Which is exactly what happened under Allardyce, and they didn't do it, and it was just wasted the fans' life.
Didn't they do this with Allardyce in the last Allardyce season? He was doing really well at the start of the season, wasn't he? And then Sullivan released a story that he's not going to be renewed at the end of the year.
Yeah, one game after that.
Yeah, and it fell off a cliff. Yeah. So he hasn't even learned from previous mistakes, Sullivan.
Well, I don't think that. Why would he tell him he was going early? And that's the other thing. But anyway, anywho, I'm sure we're going to be asked a few questions on this on question time if you're staying, Nick. And we're going to do predictions before saying you can do a quick plug for your YouTube channel. Predictions. We've got two games. One on Thursday against Spurs, dirty Spurs away, and then Sunday against Fulham away. So two away games, both London derbies. I'm not going to either, because I didn't get lucky in the ballot. We'll start with you as the guest. Nick, what's your prediction? Spurs away, Fulham away.
I'm going to go a little bit mental on this one. We're playing against Spurs, who, logic says they're going to batter us with the way that we've been playing. But I think the way that they play could suit us. If we're on our game, if we can get the players motivated and we're on our game, the counter-attacking game could suit Spurs' high line. That they play, and we could get behind them if we've got the players in there.
But we won't actually score.
We could nick it 2-1.
2-1. And then Fulham. At the Craven Cottage.
Fulham, I think we'll lose.
By what?
I'll go 2-1 again.
Okay. Fulham. All right. Len, Spurs away.
I don't think our defence is playing well enough to even think about getting a win at Tottenham.
Okay.
But I'm going to go for a 1-1.
Okay, and Fulham?
Again, I think I might go for 1-1. Okay. Exactly the same circumstance.
Well, I'm going to be really simple and go 1-0.
1-0, 1-0, of course you are.
Because that's what I do, right?
Yeah.
And we're trying to win our own Super 6, which, of course, John's already won, so what's the point?
Yeah, because he nailed the result again.
At least he gets two he can't even score at, because he's not here, he's at Butlins. Right, do your quick plug, Nick. Are you joining us for the next episode for question time?
He has to, because they've asked him questions.
Oh. I'd have asked me questions. Oh, well, I'm going to have to then, be very willing not to.
Okay.
Yes, look, Nick, I'm Nick. We run a YouTube channel from Claret and Booze. Come and look us up if you're not irritated by my tone. Come and have a little look. It's all West Ham centric. So,
and they've got some non-crazy people. I will say, they've got non-crazy people that talk some sense on your.
Yeah. Gary. I would say it's the most entertaining YouTube channel.
Who do you have?
About.
Have Gary and.
We've got Gary. Gary's my brother. We've got John, my mate. And we've got Mickey
as
well.
Did he come back again?
Who's a new addition, and look, we do phone in shows as well called Talk Hammers. So we open up the phone lines, people can phone in on a Sunday night. So yeah.
Where's your female quota in all this? You know.
We haven't ticked that box yet.
Excellent.
Have we ever had a female on this podcast?
No, we should tick that box. We should get our pronouns. I've been Sean, Nick has been
Nick,
and Len has been.
Privately coughing.
Okay. Come on, you Irons.
Come on.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.